Morning. I don't know how much sense it made. I feel like I'm preaching underwater is how I feel like I'm preaching. And need the Lord's help all over again. Of course, we need it every time we preach. And there's times you the weakness of your flesh really shows through. It just reminds us just how frail we really are. And tonight we really need the Lord to help us again. I'll not be long. One, I don't want to be, and two, I can't be. I don't think I can. So stand with me, and I want to give you a thought this evening. This is a thought I've given in some other meetings. The Lord's let me preach, and felt like this afternoon, this is what the Lord wanted me to give to our church. And let's see if the Lord will help us. Now, I'm thankful for what God's doing. And right now in our church, it's very evident. There's a lot of outward things that are happening. Church is growing. That's something you can see. People are getting saved. That's something you can see. People's lives are cleaning up and changing. That's something you can see. And we're thankful for that. I'm glad there's times in ministry. There's a lot of outward things. You can see God moving and see God working. And then there's other times you look around and you wonder, is God doing anything? How's this going to end up? And that's kind of what I want to preach on this evening, if the Lord will help us. Out of 1 Kings 17, and we'll begin reading familiar verses in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook." Verse 7 will be our thought verse as we preach from these verses. The Bible said, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Now I want to use that verse. I'm going to go ahead and give you my thought, and I'll set the context. We'll preach here for just a moment. I want to preach out of verse 7 where the Bible said, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." I'm preaching that on this thought. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? What are you going to do when the brook dries up? Father, we love you tonight. We want to come to you this evening one more time and to thank you that we can be in the house of the Lord. God, you know where we are this evening in body and in spirit. And Father, you know where we are in physical location tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd pay us a visit. And as Sister Betty just testified a moment ago about the importance of the Word of God and her thankfulness and gratefulness, Lord, for that. God, we're grateful too. And Lord, we need your Word to be alive and to give life to us tonight. God, I pray that you'd grow our faith. I pray tonight that we'd be drawn close to the Lord. I pray this evening in all things that we'd leave here ready to follow and obey God no matter what the outcome. And Lord, to bless your name all the way to glory. And we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Brother Billy, I want my wig about bouncing just in my ear right here, okay? All right. This evening, as we consider this, the Bible said in verse number 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who is of the inhabitants of Gilead," we're introduced in this chapter, and in verse 1, to a man who's going to be one of the most mighty men of God to ever come on the scene in the nation of Israel. This man by the name of Elijah is going to be a mighty man of God, a man of power, a man that is going to do miracles in the midst of God's people, a man that God is going to use mightily. When we study his life, one thing stands out as a characteristic in the life of Elijah is that Elijah was a man of God, but Elijah was a man of boldness. In fact, in this single verse, as he comes in on the scene, we're not told anything about necessarily his background and who his mama was and who his daddy was. When we're introduced to him, the Holy Spirit gives a scene of a man who just springs in on the scene, Brother Gerald, and he's got a message that is uncompromising, a message that, my friend, he's got to have some guts to make. And the Bible said that he looked Ahab eyeball to eyeball and said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And so he doesn't even get to ease into ministry. He doesn't, my friend, get the opportunity to become well known. God sends him in on the scene, and the very first message that we're given that he ever preached is a message of the judgment of God. It's a message of your sin and your wickedness has caused God to be very angry with you, and God is going to withhold dew and rain these years, and you're not going to see it rain. You're not going to see the dew in the morning, and things are going to begin to dry up, and if you don't get right with God, it's always going to be that way. Now, Elijah brings that message up, immediately develops a relationship with King Ahab, and that is not a very mutual friendly relationship. Ahab is mad, and the Lord understands it, and Elijah's life is going to be in trouble, and Elijah is going to, my friend, encounter some battles with Ahab throughout his ministry. And so what does the Lord do? The Bible said in verse 2 and in verse number 3, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. And we consider this tonight. We understand that God is going to give Elijah a relationship unto this place called the brook of Cherith. And he hides him there, and he places him there, and that, friend, sustains him there this evening. Before I get too far ahead of myself, consider Elijah's relationship to the brook Cherith. The Bible said again in verse 2 and 3, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and notice this, and hide thyself there at the brook Cherith. And God sends him there, this brook Cherith. You've got to understand tonight, it was Elijah's place of security. In a day and an hour when Elijah is going to be hunted by Ahab, in a time where Ahab is going to, my friend, do everything he can to destroy the life and the ministry of Elijah, God gives him a place of security in the brook Cherith, and there he's going to be hid, and there the Lord safely conceals Elijah away in that wilderness for one reason, and there he's going to find security and safety from the enemy. And I say, I'm glad that God knows how to keep his youngin safe, and I'm glad when our enemies began to rise up and to assail against you and I, and battle you and I, and try to destroy you and I, at the Lord, my friend, has a brook somewhere where he will take care of safely guarding over his children. Tonight, you've got to understand, the devil can't do anything to you that the Lord will not, my friend, allow him to do. We're reminded that in the life of Job, when the Lord said to the devil, I shall not consider my servant Job. And there Satan said, I've considered him, but I can't get to him because you have hid him behind the hedge. And we learn there that God is in the business of hiding his children. And my friend, thank God for spiritual brutes of Cherith, where the Lord will tuck us away and hide us from the enemy and give us the security and the safety in which we need. And so the brook Cherith and Elijah's relationship to that, we understand it was his place of security. Notice with me in verse
verse 4 and 5, the Bible saith, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And I find in these verses the brook Cherith was not only Elijah's place of security, but it was Elijah's place of sustenance. It was where God was going to feed him. It was where God was going to give him a drink. It was where God was going to meet the needs of Elijah in a day when famine was getting ready to hit the land. In a day, my friend, when water was going to be scarce, and as a result, food, my friend, was not going to be plentiful. God said, "I've got a place down by the brook Cherith, and down there at that brook, you'll be there, and you'll be able to hide yourself in that place of security, and I'm going to feed you there. I'm going to make sure every need that you have is taken care of. I'm going to make sure that my youngin is well sustained." And I say tonight, thank God that our God is interested in taking care of the needs of his children. Amen. I'm reminded of the words of the Lord here as his disciples came and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he began to expound on them the principles concerning how we are to pray. And then he got down there and he said, "Now listen, when you come to pray, understand that you're praying to your heavenly Father. And you've got a heavenly Father that knows what you have need of. And there's not an earthly father in this world that loves his son, that if his son asks for an egg, that father's not going to give him a scorpion. And that, my friend, if he asks for bread, he's going to get bread and whatever his needs are." Amen. And Christ looked at the disciples and said, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give you those things that you have need of?" And so tonight, we understand that we serve a God that is interested in taking care of our needs and sustaining our lives. I could stand here tonight an hour on end if I had the strength and the health to do so. And you could too tonight. And we could talk about all the times that God has sustained us, all the bills that God has paid, all the meals God has put on the table, all the times we were dry and thirsty, and God, my friend, gave you and I exactly what we need. The brook Cherith represents that place of sustenance in the life of Elijah, that God is interested in taking care of his own. Listen to me tonight. We serve a God that wants to meet your needs. We have a God tonight that, Brother Chris, will not let us go too long without meeting the needs that arise in our life. Has God not done great things for you? Has God not been there when it looked like, my friend, there's a famine, and everybody talks about how bad the economy is, and it is bad, and my friend, it's a disaster, and seems like that it's getting worse. But understand this, amen, we ain't missed a meal. Ain't still gas in the tank. There's still food in the cupboards. There's still, amen, a God in heaven that's meeting the needs of his people. David put it this way, said, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. The fact of the matter is we serve a God tonight that knows how to lead us to the place not only of security, but the place of sustenance where he takes care of our lives. Notice with me the brook Cherith and Elijah's relationship to it. Amen. It represents to me this evening as I studied. It was his place of satisfaction. Look in verse 6. "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Now, my friend, everybody else in the land, food's getting scarce. In fact, we're going to see a woman down here. If you read on down, I'm not going to get that far tonight. And there's a woman down in Zarephath, a widow woman, and it's got so bad the place, and she says, "All I have is a little meal left in a barn, a little oil in a crush, and I'm going to make one last meal and I'm going to die." That's how bad everything was. But here's Elijah. Amen. I see him as he camps out. Maybe, amen, he sets up some little little tent or some little shack down there by the brook Cherith, and he's there his first day. And there that evening time, here come the ravens in and drop down a little bit of bread and a little bit of flesh, and Elijah begins to eat. He gets up in the morning and he's hungry and he's ready for breakfast, and God, my friend, sends the ravens right on time to give him bread and flesh again in the morning. And I don't know how long he was down there. Evidently it was a while. Amen. He was down there for a while. And can you imagine, as Elijah was there, I mean, you can get used to that. Amen. All alone. There ain't no mother-in-laws around. And there ain't no Democrats around. And my friend, it's a pretty peaceful place. And Elijah, I imagine, is getting pretty satisfied being taken care of down there at the brook Cherith. And I say, that's just like God. Amen. Elijah's in his comfort zone. And I think of Elijah, I think of a kind of a gruff looking man, a real rough individual, a rugged man. He's probably enjoying being out in the wilderness all alone. And my friend, God taking care of his needs, it appears to me that is a security zone, a safety zone, a comfort zone, if you will, Brother Gerald, that and God is making sure every need he has is satisfied in his soul. Pretty good place to be. And I'm thankful for the brook Cherith in our life, where God had you in our way. Brother Chris, where God just tucks us away and says, I'll take care of your needs today. You ain't got to worry about anything. And that place where, my friend, you're just so satisfied with the way God is moving and the way God is working and the way and God is manifesting the way in which that he cares for his youngins. Can I say, I'm thankful for those times in my life. But notice what verse number 7 said, and I'll be brief tonight. Amen. But understand this, the Bible said, and after a while, the brook dried up. My friend, the day the brook dried up was the day that all of Elijah's security began to look like it was drying up. It looked like, my friend, God's sustaining hand was beginning to dry up. It looked like everything that had satisfied Elijah for those months and years that he was there, it looked like that it all dried up that day that the brook Cherith dried up. And my friend, I can see as Elijah wakes up maybe one morning and there's just a little bit of water left in a little bit of hole, and he reaches down in there and he takes his last drink, and he don't know what he's going to do. Now, my friend, let me ask you something tonight. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? Amen. Notice with me what Elijah did not do. Number one, Elijah didn't start complaining. Amen. Boy, we're that way, are we not? Things begin to dry up in our life. It doesn't look like at the hand of God is for us like maybe it once was or has been in the past. And what is our reaction? We begin to complain. We began, my friend, to have the mully grubs, and we began to have the poochy lip disease, and we get the place where there's no longer any, amen, communication of thankfulness. Amen. Listen, anybody can thank God when everything's going good. Anybody can thank God when the brook is running. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? Elijah didn't start complaining. Notice this. Amen. He didn't get a bad spirit about it. Elijah, when you read his life, amen, there's going to be a time he kind of gets down over there after a great victory that he wins. But when I read this text, Elijah doesn't get mad at God. Elijah doesn't start pouting. He doesn't start, my friend, getting to the place where his spirit and his attitude is affected by the brook drying up. Amen. Elijah did not complain. He did not have a bad spirit. I like this about Elijah. When I consider this text, Elijah didn't quit on God when the brook dried up. There's a lot of people that when things begin to dry up, they begin to quit. Well, I ain't going to do this anymore, and I'm not going to serve God like I used to. Amen. Elijah, my friend, did not quit when the brook dried up. And so tonight, I want to ask you, what are you going to do when the brook dries up tonight? As a church, we're enjoy it. Amen. The brook are running. And this evening, in your personal life, you may be enjoying the brook running. amen, friend, on the security and sustenance and satisfaction of following God has overwhelmed you, and it's more than you could ever, amen, exhaust and tell about tonight. Can I remind you, after a while, it may be that the brook dries up. What are you going to do? I want to learn from Elijah what Elijah did, and I just throw this out, amen, and we'll give this to you. I wish y'all would smile. Y'all look pitiful tonight. Amen, I know I sound pitiful and I look pitiful, but y'all look worse than I feel. Amen. Amen. Notice with me, number one. Amen. Notice with me, Elijah's fellowship with God. When the brook dried up, Elijah still maintained fellowship with God. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 8. At the end of verse 7 said the brook dried up. Verse number 8 said, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying. You say, preacher, what's that mean? I believe that means when Elijah realized the brook had dried up, and Elijah sat down for a minute and maybe said, now Lord, you sent me down here and you said I'd drink of this brook and you'd sustain me and you'd feed me. Now Lord, what are you going to do now? Amen. And the Bible said that a word of the Lord came unto him saying, that tells me that, my friend, even when the brook dried up, and Elijah, my friend, still had an ear for God. He still wanted to hear what God had to say. And can I say that'll help you when the brook dries up? Amen. To get your ear toward heaven. And my friend, listen in fellowship with God and hear what God has to say. Amen. Elijah's fellowship with God. Amen. Elijah's a man when he comes in on the set. Amen. He said, I've got a word from God. Amen. When he gave that word and it got him in trouble, the Bible said in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, he had a word from God. Amen. Can I say, amen, I started in this thing and got saved because God gave me a word. And ever since then, God's been giving me a word. And things are good. I'm glad God has a word. When the brook dries up, it ain't time to lay your Bible down. It ain't time, my friend, to quit praying. It's time to fellowship with God and understand that God still has a word to give you when the brook dries up. Amen. We get so consumed with the brook being gone that we quit listening for what God has to say. I'd rather have a dry brook and have a word from God as to have a full brook and have no word from the Lord. Elijah still maintains, when the brook dries up, he maintains his fellowship with God. I preach to people every week. I've preached to people now these years in God, since God saved me and called me to preach. My friend, that at the brooks begin to dry up in their life and they don't know what to do, and they begin to leave church and get out of church. They begin to slack off in coming to church. Amen. They begin to lose fellowship with God. They lay their Bible down. Oh, they quit praying. They quit communing with God. They quit talking with the Lord. And I say that's the last thing you need to do when the brook dries up. Amen. You need to have fellowship with God. You need to get alone with God somewhere and wait on God to give you a word from heaven. Elijah, my friend, Elijah's fellowship with God. He listened for and to God. Amen. You know what a lot of us do? We listen to the old dry brook. We listen to how bad everybody else tells us that it really is. Amen. You ever had something bad happen to you and you go to talk about it with somebody and they say, oh yeah. Amen. I've heard people that would get cancer, maybe come in, or maybe a loved one they had would get cancer and they come in the prayer room and share it as a burden, and somebody else speak up and say, yeah, that's the kind of cancer that killed my mama. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. And if you're not careful, you begin to listen. You begin to listen to how other people are talking about how bad the situation is. That old adage, my friend listened. He ain't listening to anybody else. His ear is in tune to God. He's walking with God. He's talking with God. And God is walking and talking with the adage. And he found that, my friend, that when the brook dries up, you can still have fellowship with God. Number two, amen. Y'all look like you're ready to be done. Here we go. Number two, if you're taking notes, Elijah's faith in God. Notice what the word of the Lord's come to Elijah and said. Brother Jerry, here's what it said. It said, get thee up and go down to Zarephath, which belongeth unto Zidon. He said, Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now listen, he's been by the brook Cherith. He's been fed every day by ravens, bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And now God is saying, listen, now that the brook's dry, I'm going to use something that ain't going to make a lick of sense to you, Elijah. I'm going to do something in your life. I'm going to give you this word as we've been fellowshiping, and I'm going to give you a promise that I'm still going to sustain thee. The way God said he's going to take care of him didn't make any sense. Hey, wasn't a brook running down there? He's sending him back into the famine. He's sending him back into the trouble. He's sending him back into the place, my friend, of worry and fretfulness and fear. To a woman that doesn't have anything more than a handful of meal and a little oil in a cruise. And she's planning on dead. And God said, Elijah, I'm sending you back down there, and I'm going to sustain you in that way. Now listen to me. Had that been me, I'd have said, but wait, Lord, I'd rather stay by the brook Cherith. I've learned to depend on the ravens. I've learned to depend every morning and evening. How you been doing it in my life? But Elijah, my friend, had to come to the place where what God had told him to do, he was willing to trust and believe that God would keep his word. Can I say tonight in 2014, amen, there is a lacking of faith in God. We live in a generation when the brooks begin to dry up. And Brother A.L., when things don't go the way that we want it to go, we begin to bat our nails and we forget every promise God has ever made in his word. Amen. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. Amen. And it went further than that in another passage and said the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, you live for God based on the faith that you have. It was faith, my friend, that allowed you to approach to God. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, amen, that they that come unto God must believe that he is and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A morning I got saved and got saved. Amen. By grace through faith. Amen. It wasn't any works I had done. I just cast everything I was into everything he was, and I got saved that day. Thank God tonight, I'm glad that I'm born again. And faith made the difference. My friend, these days have been saved. Amen. There have been challenges along the way. I had to make up my mind, am I really going to believe God or not? There's been a lot of days I didn't, and I got in trouble. You be honest, there's been some days you ain't, and you did it your own way, and God said do it this way, and you didn't think it made any sense, and you done it your own way, and you wound up making a mess out of it. But Elijah's at a place now where my friend, he's been following God all these years, and even though what God is telling him to do makes no sense, Elijah steps out by faith and embraces what God has said. Can I say it matters not if it's a brook Cherith or if it's a widow woman at Zarephath. God will take care of those who put their faith in the Lord. Amen. Preacher, what am I going to do? It seems like the brook is dried up. I tell you what you do. You just believe God. You understand that, my friend, the Word of God has plainly told you that. And God cannot lie. And every promise in Christ is yea and amen. You can take it to the bank. You can trust God. I like what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Amen. You know what Job was saying? Job was saying, if it kills me, if I go to the grave, I'll go to the grave clinging to the God that is taking care of me all this time. Can I say that's what you do when the brook dries up? But Johnny, when the doctor says you got to have a surgery and it's not a good surgery, all we can do is cling to God in them times. Amen. When the doctor, my friend, sits down and tells you, well, if we're going to do all we can and we think we can help and we think it'll work, I'm telling you, amen, thank God for doctors. My friend, my faith is not in a doctor tonight. It's in the God of glory who has given you a promise he'll take care of us along the way. Oh, Paul is in a storm with a bunch of folk and they're all nervous and they're beginning to think maybe we ought to kill all the prisoners. And old Paul said, hey man, don't do us any harm. He said, I've been over there talking to the Lord and the Lord has stood by me this night and everything's going to be all right and there's not going to be one soul in this storm that's going to suffer defeat. You know what Paul did? Paul fellowship with God and Paul, my friend, got a word from God and he believed that God that had stood by him was going to take care of him in that troubling time of his life. Can I say you can fellowship with God when the brook dries up? You better find some faith in God when the brook dries up. What are you going to do when there ain't no money in the bank? Here's what most of us do. We go get a credit card. Amen. We go to mom or we go to a grandparent and we go to somebody and say, hey, I've got a need. And I'm not saying that there's not times that God doesn't take care of our needs that way. But my friend, there's been days. I remember back in Bible college, I'm telling you, all I knew is that I love God and I love my wife. Amen. And trying to be faithful to both. And my friend, days that we couldn't pay the bills. And my friend was just trying to follow God and probably got ourselves in some of the trouble we got in. Brother Dean, I'm glad God was faithful then and God's still faithful to that, and God time and time and time and time again has proven that he's a God that you and I can trust when the brook dries up. Elijah's fellowship with God, Elijah's faith in God. Third, and I'm done, the Bible said in verse number 10, just the first sentence, that Elijah went unto Zarephath. Is that what it said? Let me get it right. Chapter 17, verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. He never argued with God. He never said, God, this don't make sense. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about Elijah's following God. Elijah's following God. He, without complaint, without a bad attitude, without trying to explain to God why what God said for him to do wouldn't work in his life, he just got up and went and did what God said to do. What do you do when the brook dries up? Here's what you do. You just keep following God. Amen. Can I say it again? That ain't the time to leave the church. Amen. I don't understand why anybody'd want to leave the atmosphere that God has given us here at Calvary. But if it dries up next month, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow God. I'm going to keep following God. Amen. That's all I know to do. That's all I know to do. That's all I can do. I can't follow Jeff. Jeff gets Jeff in trouble. Amen. Just like Lucas gets Lucas in trouble. Everybody okay? That ain't the time to be trying to find, amen, some other way. And we've got the place in our generation where churches began to get this business mindset. We ain't a business. Amen. We ain't a business. We're a ministry. We're the church of God, the house of God. Amen. And we've got to understand, no matter what, we've got to follow God. Amen. What are we going to do if the brook dries up? What are we going to do if 10 years from now there ain't no money in the bank? Everybody okay? Saul, but we got to be smart. Yeah, Elijah, you telling me, Elijah, all Elijah knows to do is follow God. And he got the place, the brook dried up, and all he had left was, God, I'll just do what you tell me to do. Amen. What are we going to do? I mean, what are we going to do when the things, our comfort zones get dried up and God thrust us into something we're not used to? I'm going to tell you what we better do. We better follow God. Amen. We better not do this finger in the wind living. Amen. The wind does not dictate which way we go. God and His Word and fellowshipping with God and believing God's Word ought to motivate you and I to follow God no matter how crazy it may seem. Step out by faith and say, God, I'll follow you because you said to do it. Amen. It made no sense a year and a half ago, a little over a year and a half ago, God spoke to my heart and said, resign your church. I said, Lord, where am I going to go? And the Lord said, resign your church. I said, Lord, but what am I going to do? He said, all you're going to do right now is do what I've told you to do and resign your church. I said, but Lord, I don't have a church to go to. I ain't got no meetings on the calendar. What am I going to do? And God said, I done told you what to do. Resign your church. I'll never forget. I went down to Galilee Baptist Church in Monroe. I called Brother Andy. I said, I need to come down and stay back there in your dorms for a couple days and just get alone with God. And God assured me of His will there. I can take you, it was up after midnight one night. God showed me just as clear and plain what I was supposed to do and said, you go back and tell them people you're going to be leaving. That's all He told me to do. But Gerald, I got up 2 weeks later and announced, didn't have another church to go pastor, didn't have a meeting on the calendar, didn't have a job. And I stepped out and said, God, you told me to do this. This is where I'm comfortable. This is where I've gotten used to things being. But you said to do it. I'm going to step out and I'm going to do it. I hadn't intended Mama on giving this tonight, but I feel like God wants me to. Stepped out and over the next 6 months, it was amazing how God sent meetings, scheduled meetings, kept me busy preaching. Didn't have a church, still didn't know people. Would say, are you an evangelist? I said, I ain't no evangelist. Well, are you going to pastor again? I said, I don't know. All I know, God said, leave there. And I'm just following Him as He opens doors. I'm just doing what I know to do. Amen. When I said and told that church I was leaving, Brother A.L., there was some old deacons in there that rose up on me and tried to accuse me of preaching false doctrine. I mean, I've been there 12 years, and now all of a sudden they're going to rise up. And all it was the majority of the church wouldn't take care of the pastor going out the door and for following God and being the preacher. And them old deacons, old stuck-up, sorry, low-down deacons, said, we ain't going to do it. So they started trying to say, well, he's been preaching false doctrine, and he's done this, and he's done that. Some we walked away absolutely wounded. And I won't give you all the story how all that come down. But just saying, Lord, you said to do this and it's costing me now. And I'm telling you, a month into that thing, I wondered, God, why in the world did you tell me to do? Have I missed something? Because it didn't make a lick of sense. Then God began to open them doors, and God was taking care. I mean, made more money last year than I've ever made in any year of my life and probably ever make in my life. And then it's about a little over a year ago on a Wednesday afternoon, there was a number come up on my phone, said Newport, Tennessee.
I said, I only know one person in Tennessee, and that ain't his number. And so I let it go to voicemail, and the voicemail come through. Jerry Phillips on the other line saying, hey, we want you to come up here and preach. Pastor Wells has left. We want you to come preach Sunday for us if you got it open. Said, you've been highly recommended. And I was still getting over some bitterness back then, Brother Charlie, and thought, I ain't interested in pastoring. I'm enjoying making money. I'm enjoying traveling around preaching and giving people ulcers, and I don't even have to worry about them being mad at me and having to deal with all that and clean it up through the week. Happy with what I was doing. Praying God to let me just stay on the road. I remember saying riding down the road, I ain't a-going, I ain't interested, I don't care, and even let my wife listen. I remember clear as a bell on that Wednesday night. I was pretty mad about it. It just shows you the spiritual state I was in the moment. Walking in church, I mean mad that Jerry Phillips had even called me and even tried to get me to come up here. I remember sitting there after my wife had said on the way in, maybe you ought to just consider going and preaching. What would that hurt? Sitting there in that building, the Lord breaking my heart and said, son, you remember when it didn't make sense 6 months ago when I told you to leave? And I've been taking care of you, and it ain't been easy, but I've been there every step of the way. You've been able to trust me these months, and I've took care of every need you've had. You ain't gone without a place to preach. I was afraid, Brother A.L. I didn't have nowhere to go. I was afraid God was going to put me on the shelf. And Brother Will, every weekend God was opening up a door and letting me preach. And God took me back to that time in that dorm room down at Galilee when He said, just do what I told you to do and I'll take care of everything else. God said, you go up there and you preach to them people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's been a year ago. It's been about a year ago this evening. Hey, man, we got back in our car and was headed down the road. And from the first Sunday, my wife had asked me, God give you an answer yet? And I'd say, no, He ain't give me no answer. But we're going to come back next week. He said to come back. Hey, man, it's a year ago. Linda, it's a year ago this Sunday evening. We was riding down the road. My wife said, you got an answer yet? And I said, I believe God gave me my answer tonight. Amen. I think we're going up to Newport and it didn't make no sense yet. Amen. It still don't make sense tonight, but I'm enjoying following God. I'm enjoying holding on to Him and putting faith in Him. Hey, friend, God knows what He's doing. God knows. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? I tell you what you better do. You better fellowship with God. You better have faith in God and believe everything He says, even when it don't look like it's coming to pass. How'd you like to be a lad? You get down there and say, hey, woman, God told me you was going to take care of me, and her looking at you and say, how am I going to do that? I ain't got enough to take care of me and my boy. Elijah said, well, hallelujah. Elijah said, well, God said for me to come down here and said he told me that He told you was going to take care of my need. Hey, man, when the brook dries up, Brother Charlie, you can still trust God. At the end of the day, when the brook dries up, just follow God. Come on, Sister Candy. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? I don't know if it's made a lick of sense or helped you tonight. It's helped my soul this evening. I hadn't intended on giving all that. But, Brother Dean, I'm so glad it pays to serve God. You get down there to Elijah in Zarephath. The Bible said that woman went, made him a meal, brought it to him, and Elijah ate, and her boy ate, and the widow woman ate. Ain't that what it said? And it said that barrel of meal and that cruse of oil did not fail according to the word of the Lord by Elijah. You ask Elijah in Zarephath, is it worth
Is it worth fellowshipping with God when the brook dries up? He'll say, oh yeah, God's still taking care of my needs. You ask Elijah down there in Zarephath, he gets down there weeks on end and say, hey, can you trust God? He said, oh, you can trust God all these weeks. All we know every day at the end of the day, there ain't no meal in the barrel, and there ain't no oil in the cruse, but we get up the next day and God has replenished it, and God can be trusted to take care of your need. You ask Elijah months on end in Zarephath, Elijah, does it pay to follow God when the brook dries up? And you say, oh yeah, I'd have died if I'd have tried to cling to my brook Cherith. I'd have died. But following God got me to Zarephath, and God has yet to fail me as I've listened and followed Him. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know if I'm preaching this for tonight or if I'm preaching this for down the road. But there'll come a time brooks begin to dry up in your life, and in your comfort zone, if you're not careful, you'll try to cling to something that eventually kill you. You better learn to follow God, have faith in God, and fellowship with God. Let's stand together. Father, I love you. Lord, I want to thank you for the word of the Lord tonight. I want to thank you that thus far you've led us safely. Lord, we're thankful for the places of security and the places, Lord, where you've sustained us. Lord, I could stand here tonight and talk about those times in my life where you took such good care of me. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, you've allowed us to be satisfied. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, as we understand, things may not always be as clear and plain and cut and dry as they are tonight. Lord, serving you and being in the work of God and in the family of God, Lord, we understand sometimes the brook dries up. We don't know what to do. Lord, I pray we'd learn from the example of Elijah tonight, Lord, to maintain fellowship, maintain faith, maintain a following after God, knowing that you'll take care of us. Lord, you done proved it over and over and over again in your word and in our lives and in this church. Lord, you've proven it so many times that you take care of us every day. Lord, I bless your name for it tonight. Grow us in the faith. Help us, Lord, in days to come. In Jesus' name. This altar's open. If you have come tonight, would you mind the Lord? Mind the Lord. Maybe you need to come this evening and say, Lord, help me. Maybe tonight the brook's dried up on you recently. And tonight the Lord's reminded you how he's taking care of you. The Lord's reminded that he hadn't failed you yet. Would you mind the Lord this evening? Still a praying tonight. Oh God, help us. This way, I appreciate your attention tonight. I hope you